B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
We never mic checked the computer over here, so I figured.
I was going to say, did you see Robbie in the hallway?
No,
what's going on over there?
Well, we forgot to check the computer, so I figured the least professional way to do it was
during
on
the intro. All right. No, that's fair. Welcome to another week in Nerd Radio. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm your host, joined by the always ready Al Beck.
Always. Even if it's late, I'm ready at some point.
That's right. And, of course, Mr. James.
Hello.
James.
Have any cool attributes. I'm just James.
It's just James.
I'm
just
not
James.
Always ready.
It's James.
Well, you know what? I'm highly erotic.
There yes. We
go. Yeah, that's
the
right.
The most erotic.
Let me
undo one of my buttons here to make it more erotic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, get that down. Which, I mean, if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see that. You maybe hear how he sounds even more erotic without that button. However, you can check us out.
Now that the button's undone, you can hear how erotic my voice sounds.
Yeah, right.
The rustling of
enjoy
chest
the
hair.
Yes, you hear those little noises? That's my five little chest hairs all colliding with one another as I...
You have five?
Rush my fingers.
I have,
right up here. I don't know.
I have two.
Oh, you have two?
You know, Charlie
I have
Brown,
more over here.
You know Charlie Brown has like two hairs on the top of his head? Yeah. That's how my chest looks.
That's funny. You usually have somebody like draw you shirtless and just have the little Charlie Brown chest hairs.
Whoop. That's it.
That's funny. That's the image I have of you now.
Yep.
Someone's Chuck Bean. They're going to say his name. I'd be like, I think of him shirtless with Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown chest hair.
Yep.
As I was about to say, you can watch us. You can actually see James unbutton his button on Twitch Wednesday mornings and on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream. That is at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP, correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right.
You don't even have to say backslash nowadays. You just say slash.
You just say slash.
These kids, they know what that means.
It's at http
yes.
www. dot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And as Al
it's
Beck,
on the World Wide Web.
It is, yeah.
Right. And speaking of the World Wide Web, Al Beck has paid the money so that if you're looking for Nerd Radio, you've got your one-stop shop.
Yeah. I know when we put it that way. I'm the laziest man ever. Paid money out of my own pocket. This is not something that the radio station bought for us.
It is not.
I charged my own credit card to register nerdradio101.com.
Well, so I like to think that your lifespan is based on the amount of words that you speak. So you're saving, you're extending your life by God knows how many years by not giving out all those URLs.
Except I've actually spent more words explaining why I purchased the URL than it took to just say
you're in the hole.
Radio station.
You're going to die soon. Oh, no. Look in the crystal ball. Oh, all L's words are gone.
Yeah, so this is Nerd Radio has always been kind of a grassroots kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like we're not getting paid any extra to do it. Yeah. We do it because we love to hang out and talk about nerd
labor of love.
But I have a question for you, Al, because I have also spent my own money on Nerd Radio stuff. I'll get cards, you know, business cards to put at to hand out to people when I interview them or to put at the different conventions.
It's an intervention
like
to say James isn't paying enough of his
own
money.
It is not.
Right.
No, it is not.
I think where he's going with this, though, is the fact that Chuck is the host. This show is his baby.
Yeah.
And he's wondering, do we own Nerd Radio 101 or do I own it?
That's questions.
I mean, yes. And as much as I
will Al be the hero or the super villain?
And I do think of NerdRadio101.com as our property, the three of us. But you know what? If you want to go with a legal battle, I will remind you it's mine.
That is also not where I was
headed. Oh, wow.
My question to you was...
I also love the fact that... anyone who's hearing this right now has found us.
Yeah.
So like, I don't. This is really just such a waste of time to like let them know how to find us when they've already done the homework.
Maybe.
But I love it, and it should never change.
Maybe somebody is listening to the podcast but had no idea they could see us. Maybe somebody is watching us on Twitch but had no idea they could hear us.
Sure,
that's the mindset I'm taking here. My question to you, I get to it eventually. When you spent the money on the website, was there a minute of, what if we just stopped doing Nerd Radio next week? What a waste.
No,
okay.
There wasn't because...
He's in the long haul.
Yeah, no, that's just an ongoing fantasy of mine. By the way,
it's funny because it's true.
We do have a limited amount of time in the studio today because the checkpoint guys haven't
right.
We've never wasted more time in our lives than we've got.
This
a
is all on
fly.
Tape. This is all part of the show.
It is. Yeah. This
Guess
is.
What? He's got an article about a video game that we're not going to talk about now.
We're not even going to get to it.
It's gone. It's next week's stuff.
Yeah. Ordinarily, we've got all the time in the world, and the show's nothing but just.
Yep. Yep. No, because I've done that almost every time I buy cards for the show. I'm like, man, what if I go in tomorrow and Jade's just like, yeah, so we don't need Nerd Radio anymore. So we just, like, I just spent $30 on some new business cards. Damn it.
Yeah, well, actually, the real sad part is if, let's just say that happened, that this ended up being our last show, which it's not.
No.
That's not the plan.
Right.
It's not the plan, but we all know how that goes sometimes. But the sad thing is I've got the URL registered for the whole year, but it's on auto renewal because I'm so stupid. I don't want to like lose it.
Yeah. It will exist.
It will exist forever because I'll never remember. Like we could cancel the show and I'll just still own it.
Else worried some other nerdum podcast out there might want to steal the URL right from underneath us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And also it's just something I can, you know, send you a message 10 years from now and remind you that I still own it.
It's still mine, bitch. All right, well, let's talk about what's going on in the world of nerds, because there was some huge news, mainly in the video game industry, but a couple of hours after we recorded last week's Nerd Radio, PlayStation had their big announcement for the PlayStation 5. James, I'm sure you've talked to the guys at Checkpoint about this already, but I'm curious to get both your take and Al's take about the new PlayStation 5. It's supposed to release in November, starts at $399 for the digital edition and $499 for the Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive edition. They also released some of the games that are going to be part of it, one of which is supposed to be Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, which the good news there is that it will be available on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, man, it's available on both systems. So
you don't have to get a 5 to play the new Spider-Man game, which is awesome. Here's even better. The standard edition, which will be available digitally in the PlayStation store or physically, is $49.99. So it's $10 cheaper than, you know, what we're used to at $60. However, if you want to get the PlayStation 5 edition, which is, I think, $70 or $80, not only do you get the new Miles Morales game, but you get the Spider-Man game from a couple years ago.
Okay.
Completely updated with new graphics.
Nice. All right.
So if you haven't played it, it's a good opportunity to play it. And it sounds like the Miles Morales game is going to be significantly smaller.
Really?
And a little bit shorter than the like it almost like it was.
I wonder if there'll be some DLC stuff later to help expand the game a little bit. You know?
Yeah, I would have to think
so. It's such a hugely popular game, like from the Spider-Man, the PS4, to now the Miles Morales version that's coming out. I can't see them not having that game be available in some way, shape, or form to where they can rake in money off of it continuously. You know?
They'll expand on it, and it's to my personal chagrin is the fact that like online multiplayer gaming is so popular. That's where they usually expand it.
Sure.
Whereas I like the single player stuff. So like I'll every so often dust off Grand Theft Auto 5 and play it again. And you know we've talked about on the show how much I enjoyed that game, and I'm always like, man, I wish there was some DLC where they give me some new missions to play
in single player. Instead
right,
of just...
but there are, I mean, but they are constantly updating the game. It's just all for online stuff, which I'm not interested
it's all the
in
heists
at all.
And stuff, right?
Right. Yeah.
Man, there is some hate on Square Enix in the chat right now on Twitch. What is that all about? Between Jaymore and Hall Gaming, they're very angry at Square Enix, and I missed why. Let me know in the chat. I'm real interested to find out what you guys are upset about because I've heard some things. But yeah, so Miles Morales is coming out as one of the launch titles. Also, not a launch title, but exclusive to the PlayStation is the new Final Fantasy, which they have a trailer for, Final Fantasy 16, and it looks like it's going to go back to the more fantasy-based, you know, sword and sorcery stuff than the updated, you know, like in the 15, the guys had cars.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Final Fantasy 7 or Final Fantasy 8, there was the Gunblade and stuff. So there was a little bit of future on top of the fantasy stuff. Do you have a preference, Al? Because I was thinking as I was watching it that I am definitely, I enjoy it more when it's modern.
When like the Final Fantasy games?
When there's cars and robots and, you know, gun blades and stuff like that. Yeah.
You know, I think I prefer the classic feel. You know. Yeah, I loved Nine so much because it had that sort of like almost that medieval era feel to it. There was castles and stuff like that, you know. And like I think there was like a blimp thing, but it was very steampunk.
Right. Yeah. And that's the airships.
Yeah. The airship. Yeah.
That, yeah. Yeah. That's always something that I'm super into is the, like the technology on top of the fantasy stuff. Like, how does the airship work? Well, it's fueled by magic, but it looks very steampunk.
Yes.
I think that's the cool, way to do it in Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I like the medieval, like, I want to see a wizard that looks like a real wizard, like a Merlin with the beard.
Right.
Casting the spells. And I want like, I want the traditional look of like the warriors and stuff. Like, so I'm more into the medieval times.
Are you? Okay.
Like might and magic type stuff.
As I like the, I mean, I like the wizards, but I like them when they're standing next to the guy that's got a Gatling gun on his arm.
Yeah, I get
and
it.
And that's kind
of
fun.
Well, I do like that kind of like aspect too. Can we get like a medieval guy with like a crossbow on his arm?
Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
Jay Moore chiming in on the Twitch chat saying that he loves that opening scene for Final Fantasy VIII, so Gunblade forever for him.
Yeah.
It is pretty cool. I mean, like, I have a preference, but it's not going to, it doesn't kill it for me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's not like I'm not going to play a Final Fantasy because they went, you know, hard into one particular genre.
Can you explain to me, guys, here, I'm a little out of the loop. What is a Gunblade?
Well, the main character, you remember in Final Fantasy VII, the main character Cloud had the giant Buster sword.
Yes.
That's like as big as he is kind of thing. Yeah. In Final Fantasy VIII, the main character Squall and his rival, whose name escapes me, have a, it's a sword, but then it has like a revolver at the handle.
Okay.
And the handle is more like, looks like the handle of a revolver.
So I could like walk up to you with it, hi-ya, decapitate you, and then I see Al Beck in the, out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, I got to take him out too. Pop, 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 and then shoot. Oh, okay.
Yeah, kind of like that, which was an interesting weapon.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
I do love the concept. Like I said, I don't hate it.
Yeah, it's not practical.
But I would, if I had the choice, I would prefer it wasn't there.
Like what, how am I going? You got to be able to pull the trigger at the exact right time to shoot the guy while you're stabbing him or slicing him.
Yeah.
It's not practical, but it looks neat.
I can make it happen.
Yeah, you think so?
I'm such a marksman. I'd make that happen. I'd make the bullet do a curveball.
Marksman is not the way your Realm Royale streams typically work.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. You got me there. You got me there, Chuck.
But the other thing I wanted to talk about with the PlayStation 5, because we talked about the Xbox last week, is they're also releasing something called the PlayStation Plus Collection, which will offer select PlayStation 4 games on the PlayStation 5, and it'll be available on day one. So we have almost essentially gone from buy a system on day one and you got to buy at least one game for it, right? Mm-hmm. Or it comes with a game back in the day. Now it's like, no, buy the system, go home, sign up for the subscription service and have access to a plethora of new games to play. Mm-hmm. They say that some of the games that'll be available are God of War, Bloodborne, Final Fantasy 15, Mortal Kombat 10, Until Dawn, The Last Guardian, The Last of Us Remastered, Persona 5, and Resident Evil 7, Biohazard.
Mm-hmm. Those are the only ones that'll be available? Because I thought
that says some of the available games.
Okay.
So there's going to be more.
I thought when they first talked PS5, it was always going to be backwards compatible all the way back to the PS1.
Right.
So that doesn't mean you wouldn't be able to just pop your games in?
No.
It's all going to have to be downloaded, huh?
From the sounds of it, they're absolutely going to make it part of this subscription service thing where you'll have access to it, almost like a Netflix for gaming, in the same way that Xbox has Game Pass?
Game Pass.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only difference being, which many people have pointed out, is that on Game Pass, you get games that the day they're released are available on Game Pass, which is fascinating. You would think you'd lose a lot of money that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, I can pay a subscription fee that's, you know, 1/6 of what I'd pay for a new game and then just have a new game when it comes out?
Well, I feel like the game manufacturers are probably going to be getting a percentage of subscriptions, I would think. There's got to be a way
to
the game manufacturers.
Otherwise, why would you put it there?
Cut. Maybe they have something set up to where, like, okay, so many subscriptions from the release date of your game up until this point in time, you get this percent.
Well,
of,
it's kind of following the same formula that your wrestling WWE
the network,
the pay-per-views used to be $60 a month or whatever, but they probably get more people that are willing to pay whatever the monthly subscription rate is and get the pay-per-views rather than they were getting people to pay the $60.
Oh, sure.
They got me. I've been with them for like 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, what? It's only $10 and I can watch all the pay-per-views and I can go back and watch all this content? Yeah. Take
money. Right. And you might end up spending, you know, the same amount of money that you would if you were just like, you know what, all I'm going to get is Royal Rumble and WrestleMania because those are the big dogs of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd go ahead and shell out the money for that. Maybe you're covering that amount of cost with the whole year of subscription.
Mm-hmm.
But also you could have been like, you know what, I'd love to get Royal Rumble, but I just can't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, but you're still spending that money with the network, whereas, you know what I mean? So like they figured out that they're not out to not make money. So
oh, not
there's
at all.
They're probably looking at models like that and seeing that we're going to get more people willing to pay for the subscription.
Yeah.
You know, and actually in the long run make more money.
As somebody who's been playing games for like 30 plus years, it's fascinating to me. We talked about it last week about like 2K Battlegrounds and Avengers just mm-hmm. being like, here's the game. We'll put out downloadable content and we're not even going to charge you for it now. Mm-hmm. Whereas, yeah, you know, yeah, for the last 5-10 years, it's been buy the game, but then spend another $20 the day you get it. Yep. So you can get the pass for the whole year for all this stuff that we promised to put out later on. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to me to watch it go from, oh, I got a Super Nintendo and I got this Mario game with it thing to like, well, I got an Xbox and I went home and I paid $20 for the month and now I have
every single game known to
30 new games to choose, yeah, from to play.
And for me, I like doing the PlayStation Now subscription, which they already have something, yeah, like this, because to me, I'm such a finicky gamer. I don't do a lot of gaming, and I'll pick a game and I'll play it for even a game I love. Like, I just start RDR2 over again because I loved it.
Yeah.
But I only played it for a few hours and I got distracted. You know what I mean? So, like, that's the kind of gamer I am. I never really finished anything. So, right, this way, I pay the amount of money per year for one video game and I've got hundreds to choose from. And if I only play it for 10 minutes, it's not really a loss.
Yeah.
But I definitely get more than my money's worth over time.
Over time, yeah.
Well, let's talk about something that's going on the other side of the fence, because that's the other big gaming news this week. Microsoft buying Bethesda Games for $7.5 billion, which a lot of people are thinking means that quite a few of Bethesda's IPs, like The Elder Scrolls and maybe even Doom, will be Microsoft exclusive.
I think if they're smart, that's the way to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get people to, because I feel like right now the Xbox is not really showing a whole lot of reason. At least this is what has been discussed amongst me and the Checkpoint guys.
Sure.
Anything that Microsoft has out on the Xbox, you can play on a PC.
Yes.
So what is the draw to get you to get the Xbox?
Right.
But now the buying Bethesda and whatever their parent company is.
If the next Skyrim or a Fallout or something like mm-hmm. that is.
Or even a Doom.
Like, yeah. And I can't imagine them being, because it's Microsoft, it's probably going to be PC and Xbox. It'll be a matter of, like, you just can't have this on your PlayStation.
Right, I can't have it on my gaming console.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Much to what they've done with, what PlayStation has done with the Final Fantasy VII Remake, right? That's only available PC and the PlayStation.
Right.
So it'll probably be just like that. So it's going to be like the wars of, like, who's got what entities or what properties.
Yeah. And
exclusivity. The exclusivity wars.
It's Sonic versus Super Mario all over again. Like, I got to have this thing if I want this, but I've got to have this one, too, if I want that.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
I feel like we saw more of this before, and it seems like the exclusive game brand kind of went away for a while.
Absolutely.
You know, because, like you said, Mario and Sonic, you had your Nintendo. And
they're friends now.
Yeah.
They go to the Olympics and stuff together.
They're competing as friends in the Olympics.
Right.
So,
but we saw a bunch of that. I mean, even in the newer generations, Halo was an Xbox only, where Final Fantasy, up until whatever it was, 13 or something, was exclusive to the PlayStation. So it's funny to me that it's going back. Although, in this story, we don't know. It's speculation that it's going to go exclusive.
Yeah, they haven't announced anything like that yet. It's just speculation that everybody thinks, like, well,
But Final Fantasy 16 is definitely exclusive to PlayStation.
It's going
to
be on the PlayStation, and people are speculating it'll be a PC game as well.
Okay.
And that's the interesting thing, too, is that PC is the bridge between the two.
Yeah.
Like, if you can afford to and you have the know-how to keep up a gaming PC, then mm-hmm. you've just got access to 90% of everything.
You probably don't even need to bother with the console then at that point.
Right.
Everybody tells me PC's the master gaming race or whatever. I'm like, I got every console and known to mankind.
I've heard that too, but I can't do PC gaming.
I don't know why it's such a hold up for me. I have a PC that I could game on. I played a couple games on it, but
it is a massive investment in my experience. It is a massive investment monetarily, just knowing how to put the stuff together and make it all work. Like, you're troubleshooting your own thing. That's the joy of a console, is if I put the disc in and it doesn't work, it's because it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Not because I didn't do one of 20 things.
Yeah, my RAM's not pushed in all the way right, or I don't have a cable connected from my capture card into...
Right.
You got to push that RAM all the way in, James.
You got to push that RAM all the way.
That's
why it's called RAM.
Yeah, you got to RAM in there. RAM it hard.
Ramming speed.
Ramming speed, engage!
Engage the ramming.
But then on the, you've also got this little island over here that Nintendo is running. Then it's like nothing, none of their stuff's on the PC.
That's true. Yeah, they're always just in their own little world.
Yeah,
they make it work.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
That, you know what though? Good for Nintendo for like having a system again that's actually viable, because it seems like ever since the Super Nintendo, it seems like they're try and get close. But
they're
like,
always trying weird things.
Yeah,
and it doesn't always
connect.
The
GameCube was, you know, like okay, or I guess since the N64, was the last like huge viable system that they've had.
Really, but you'd say not the Wii wouldn't be a huge viable
I don't
system?
Think so. I think the Wii was almost cool.
I feel like once it went to Wii U, that's when I kind of fell off the Nintendo wagon.
Because I think people were like kind of like really into the fact that you were able to move and play the game.
Like bowling. Bowling for real in my
but then, like,
which is exciting for about 30 seconds, and then I'm out of breath.
Right.
And I'm still excited when I get a strike. You should see me get a turkey in Wii U bowling. If I could do the splits, I would, just like in Kingpin.
Just like in Kingpin, yeah.
But, like, again, like not that those systems were bad, but they were, like, almost there. And it's just, like, they were always, like, I mean, Nintendo is such a big name in gaming. It's iconic. But they were always sort of, like, the other, like, yeah, okay, whatever. But
to me, it's like.
They're killing it with the Switch, though.
When a gamer becomes a gaming man or gaming woman, you leave the Nintendo behind and you get an Xbox or a PlayStation is what it always was to me. But now I'm, like. I love my Switch.
It's so fun.
It's cool. There's so many
cool
things about it.
It's portable. There's a bunch of great stuff on it.
Is it more, like, it's funny, we're talking exclusive stuff. Would you, I feel like Nintendo's almost like its own little thing, where it's like you've got your PlayStation and Xbox, and they have a lot of the same games. Do you find a lot of the same games coming to the Nintendo properties?
You do, actually. James, didn't you get Battlegrounds for the Switch?
Yeah, I have Battlegrounds, 2K, for the, or WWE 2K Battlegrounds, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I have it for the Switch.
Yeah, so there's plenty of stuff. I mean, they've put Elder Scrolls on everything.
Outer Worlds
is over there.
But the thing that I do see with the Switch is there's issues, I think, porting some of the games over. They don't translate as well in terms of...
It is still one of those things where the Nintendo system isn't up to spec with the other current gen systems, but it's just barely.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like one step behind the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 when it comes to that stuff.
Mm.
I'm glad we're talking about Nintendo, though, because I've got the new Super Mario All-Stars. I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to find out what Battlegrounds is like for you.
Yeah.
And I've got more video game stuff to talk about, so let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, this is Tara Platt.
And Yuri Lowenthal.
And you're listening
to Nerd Radio.
Back with more Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network and on social media at Nerd Radio 101. Chuck Bean hanging out in the Checkpoint XP Studios with Al Beck.
Oh, yes.
Say, make a noise, Al, so people know what your voice sounds like.
Yes, I'm here.
And James.
Can I make a noise, too?
Make a noise so people know what your voice sounds like, James. Yeah,
that's a noise, right?
That's a fair. Said a noise. I didn't specify what kind of noise. So
was it a bodily function?
It could have been worse. We're talking about the new Xbox and PlayStation, which is coming out in just a couple of months here. And I'm sure you guys have seen, as I have seen on the news, that apparently the pre-orders for the Xbox went up last week and the PlayStation just a couple of days ago, and both of them were just a nightmare,
complete disasters. Yeah, bots. Grabbing them to scam people and sell on eBay. And
right. I know that me and Al are out of the game as far as, like, we're going to wait till next year anyways. But yeah. Did you try and get one, James?
No. I'll sit it out and wait. I mean, if Checkpoint XP peeps were like, hey, we could really use this to help the show, I'd be like, well, let me finance it on my credit card. And
Right.
But we got to make some killer content with these guys.
Yeah. No, I wait until they stop catching fire, which always seems to happen.
Yes. That's always, especially with an Xbox system, it's always really good to wait a couple of months just to make sure that the thing's not going to catch your house on fire. Mm-hmm. Last week, I drove by a GameStop on Thursday morning, and there was like a half a dozen nerds out
waiting
in
line.
Waiting in line out in front of GameStop. No, waiting to do their pre-orders.
Oh.
Waiting to do their Xbox pre-orders.
Wow.
So
they did it in person, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, speaking of Mario, we were talking last week about Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which came out last week.
Did you get your copy?
I did.
Good for you.
I did. What about you, James?
I got a copy. Yeah, I haven't opened it and played it yet. I played a little bit of the new WWE game.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to get into it later after we record the show.
I do have to ask real quick. Is the new WWE game better than the last
one? Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I did want to hear about that, so let's get into that right
now.
We're
talking about right now? Okay. Yeah. I think it's fun. Like exactly what I said, NBA Jam, but a wrestling game.
Yep.
And I think that's exactly what it is. It's so much easier to figure out and play. Some of the characters might not look exactly like the wrestlers.
Yeah, well, they're supposed to look like cartoons.
Yeah, but they're definitely caricatures of the actual wrestlers. But I think it's fun. It's easy to figure out. It's not too complicated. And the match is quick. Like, I don't know. We're playing through the first little part of like the campaign or the story.
Yeah.
So everybody we're fighting is like super easy. But I mean, so far the combos are like punch, punch, punch is like 3-punch combo.
Okay.
Like it's real easy like to get combos in and do special moves.
So they leaned real hard into like the fighting game genre with this one where instead of going simulation. Like, I mean, you could see that with it graphically.
Yeah.
But as far as the gameplay, it's kind of easy to
It's so easy to figure out. And as like you're doing stuff, like the controls of what you have options to do will pop right up on your screen. Mm-hmm. So if like you're trying to do this or that, you hit, you know, that button and then it does it.
That's
like
cool.
Kind of lets you know what you need to do until you get acclimated to the controls.
Right.
So, but if you, I'm playing it on the Switch, so if you do have the Switch, you need that controller where you slide your little Joy-Cons into.
Okay.
So you need that controller to make you feel like you got a big boy system controller.
I'll take the sides off the Switch, and then I'll just like sit like this and just play with them. I've got the right in my hand, or I'll just put my arms down at my sides.
Wow.
Because they're remotes, so it's just like I got the right side of the controller here and the left side of the controller here, and I don't have to do this.
Okay.
I can just... Yeah.
You got to play a Chuck style.
I could just be lazy.
Yeah. Man, it's like the gamer's version of like playing the guitar with your teeth and swinging it around your body.
Yeah. Right, man, he just made me look like a bitch. He's like, James, you need to buy that controller and hold the joysticks.
Meanwhile, Chuck's laying upside down on the couch.
Yeah.
Just whatever.
He's like he's like inverted. He's hanging from the ceiling.
I'm Spider-Maning from the ceiling.
He's got a blindfold on, too, you know? High score.
Yeah.
I could sense the high score was coming.
Yeah, it's like lesson one of Jedi training with the blast shield
down. Yeah, exactly.
But it's all Tetris 99. Yeah.
Chuck's the chosen one.
So is there a create a wrestler mode?
Yeah, you can create a wrestler, and I think you can even create a ring.
Because I saw you could unlock parts for stuff, so I thought that was where that was headed.
Yeah, as you go through the campaign, you beat up Samojo, you get an unlock. Oh, you got 750 bucks to go spend in the store to go unlock other wrestlers.
Right, and that was what we talked about last week, is that as you play, it gives you bucks that you can buy other wrestlers and parts and whatnot, and they're going to release.
So hopefully the game, I hope it takes off. You can connect online and play against people. So I'm looking forward to hopefully
trying it out online.
Yeah. Anybody wants to take me on in WWE 2K Battlegrounds, let me know. We'll set it up.
Yeah.
But I got to get some time in so at least I know I stand a chance.
Right.
You know, I'm not just going to pick it up and play you tomorrow and then you're just like, you suck, James. You know, I got like 20 minutes of gameplay in. So back off.
Right. Yeah, speaking of the WWE, too, you got to spend some time in the Thunderdome.
Yeah,
on Monday.
In the Thunderdome. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So when you get into the Thunderdome, and I want to let everybody know who might be trying to get into the Thunderdome to be part of the virtual audience, do not give up on like the first click of the link to get you into the show. So essentially what happens is you have to sign up to say, hey, WWE, I want to be in the Thunderdome.
Right.
Pick me. And then if you get to that point, they'll send you an email, and they'll tell you a special time to sign up for that. So you got to hit that link at that right time and get signed up. And then they'll send you an email saying you're signed up. We'll send you an email the day of the show. The day of the show rolls around, and they're like, here's your email. Your call time is this time. So that's the time you need to show up to click your link to get into the Thunderdome virtual audience.
Right.
They tell you on there, like, click it one time. It's your link. Don't share it. This is for you. It's only you. And it's good one time only. So keep that in mind. So then you wait till your call time. And like for me, I waited to the exact second. I'm like watching. My call time this week was 9:45. So I'm like, okay, 9:45 and 1 second, I'm going to click this link.
So you didn't get to log in until like the show was almost half over.
Yeah.
9:45. Yeah. Wow. Because
I think they rotate through.
They rotate and stagger people through. Interesting.
And I think they record matches out of order during the Thunderdome virtual audience than what they air on TV too.
Huh.
So, interesting. And I'll explain that why.
Okay.
I'll explain why I know that. So anyways, 9:45 and 1 second, I click the link. It pops up. It tests your browser. Sorry, we're full. Dang. Man, right. I missed it. I missed it again. And at this point, I'm like, if I don't get in this time, I'm done with this Thunderdome.
Right.
Like, it's 9:45. It's already, I'm usually passed out on the couch right about now anyways, like asleep, and I'm wide awake. But somebody had told me, try it again. Click that link again and see if you can get in. So I was like, I'm going to try it one more time. So I clicked the link. Screen pops up again, but instead of it saying, like, we're full, it's like testing your browser. And then it just kept doing testing your browser. So I'm like, what gives? Is it like, do they realize I clicked the link twice? I don't know. Close it down, click the link one more time, pops up, testing your browser, and then a little button pops up and says, click to enter. I'm like, I think I'm in.
Yeah.
So I click it, and then it pops up, and it's like you're watching what you would watch on TV.
Okay.
It's on whatever device you're using, but then in the bottom left corner, there's a little box that shows what your camera is showing.
Okay.
And there's like a little outline of where you should put your head and shoulders to kind of put yourself right here in the box.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're hearing the show, but all you're hearing is commentary and sound effects. You don't hear the crowd noise. You don't hear any of that stuff.
Interesting.
And you're on about, you can tell like whatever, because we use Sling for our cable.
Yeah.
So we're on a bit more of a delay than people who have actual cable. So there's like almost a 60-second delay from what you're seeing. What I'm seeing on my computer screen is happening like a minute after on TV.
Okay.
And what would happen is, so a wrestler is coming out, and you hear a voice come out of the computer.
All right, everybody, it's Seth Rollins, your Monday Night Messiah. Let us know what you think of Seth Rollins. Cheer or boo, you know.
Interesting.
So then I'm like, boo! I mean, right. I like Seth Rollins, but I don't like his Monday Night Messiah character. But
right.
I'm like, boo! You know, so they're getting everybody hyped up. And then I think they're taking some of the crowd cheers that's being picked up by your mics, and they're filtering that into the stream that's going on to cable.
Wow.
And then during commercial breaks, like Angel Garza came up on the screen, and you could tell he's like somewhere backstage, maybe in Gorilla. And he's like, hola, hello to all the beautiful ladies out there. Oh, so many beautiful ladies. So then I'm like, boo. I'm like, what about the hot dudes? Boo.
Right.
And then he's just like thanking you for being a part of the Thunderdome audience.
Interesting.
And, you know, make sure you watch the pay-per-view Clash of the Champions this Sunday when I take on whoever I'm taking on with Andrade to,
right.
You know, win the belts. I think there was it Private Party or no? Street Profits.
No, Street Profits.
I got those two, the two hip hop.
Yep. There's one at AEW, the other's on Monday Night Raw, but they're up, like, so. They're easily mixed up.
Yeah. But so it was cool. And then I don't know if I got up to get snacks during a commercial, and when I came back, the screen was like, thanks for being a part of it. So I was like, did they see an empty screen? So
then
they
just
booted me?
Right.
Or was my time over? So I was kind of bummed out.
Huh.
But Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler tag teamed against, was it Natalya and
Lana.
Lana.
Yep.
So they played that match almost at the very, very end of Raw this week. It was like almost the second to last match.
It was in the third hour.
I saw that entire match on my laptop before I got kicked off.
Really?
Yeah. So
I wonder if that outline has something to do with you getting kicked off.
Like if I'm not in it enough.
Like if you're not in the outline, they're like, there's no one there. Yeah, and like the computer just recognizes it and boots you.
Yeah, that could be it, you know, but I'm sorry. It's like 10 o'clock. I need snacks. But they also, I got booted off. I got booted off around 10:30. So I'm like, well, that's 45 minutes of Thunderdome time, you know?
Right.
So I was like, maybe that's the allotted time because they're bringing new people in.
It's fascinating that they cycle through so many people. I thought they just move people around.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you were in the back, you know, row during one match, then they would move you to the front row at some point during the night.
A little bit of TV time or whatever.
Right.
You know? But so seeing the Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax tag team match on the computer, and then it not coming up on the TV until way later.
Right.
I was like so confused. So who knows? And maybe that was just the end of the audience. They didn't need any more audience members or anything.
Huh.
So it was interesting. It was fun. If I got the email to be a part of it again, I would.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a cool way to kind of interact in a way that you can't interact with WWE anymore because you can't go to any live shows.
Yeah,
I was actually, I pulled up the network the other night because I couldn't sleep and I was watching a show from like this year's Royal Rumble when, you know, they could still have a live crowd, and it feels so weird after, what, like 6 or 7 months of watching no crowds and wrestling.
Nobody
to
a bunch of monitors.
To watch an entire arena full of people at a WWE event. Like that's how it was. 6 or 7 months ago, and all through history, but having lived through 2020, it feels really weird to see it now.
Yeah, and I think it depends on how they like try to deal with that missing audience. Because like, you know, like I've been watching, you know, the football games and stuff, and they just pipe in fake crowd noise.
Football games are the weirdest.
It's so weird.
The crowd.
Yeah, it's so weird because, like, even from like camera angles, like sometimes, like, it looks like there's people there. Mm-hmm. That there's
yeah,
not.
Because they will actually put crowd, like those CGI crowd members, yes, in there from certain, yes, angles.
Right.
Yes.
And then you see that same area from a different angle.
And it's an empty,
and there's nobody.
Yeah. But you know, just from watching the Lions, I know that their week one game, the audio guy was way off on the mix, and he was burying the commentators with crowd music.
It sounded
terrible. And the other thing is, like, I don't think the commentators necessarily have the crowd noise in their ear.
No, probably not.
Because, like, normally if the crowd's up, they'll talk over and they're like, this fourth and three, they're going
but
for
the crowd is feeling the heat.
Yeah, and like, their energy will go with the crowd, but instead, like, oh, it's fourth and three, and the crowd's like, no! It's like talking normal. And, But I brought up because, like Conan, on the other hand, like, I've been watching Conan, and Conan's like, I don't have an audience, so I'm not going to pretend like there is one there.
Sure.
And so he does jokes that just falls on nothing. And it's,
right.
Even still, it's uncomfortable to watch, but I appreciate the authenticity of it.
Well, he's one of those comedians, too, that loves to bomb, isn't he?
Yeah,
He's thriving right now in it with no audience that he can tell any joke, and it's going to be just as good or bad as any other joke he tells.
But he's also done a thing, too, where, you know, like, his hair is iconic. That swooping hairstyle of his. And at first, he couldn't get a haircut. But he's like decided that I'm just gonna let this thing ride. Like, his hair is still shaggy as hell right now.
I haven't seen Conan.
He hasn't cut his hair since the pandemic started.
Oh my goodness!
And it's crazy. But like, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
And I love the authenticity that you get with it. But like I said, it really is. It's uncomfortable to watch. He doesn't look like himself because of the hair.
Right.
There's no audience except he does have Andy Richter. He's now filming it at the Largo Comedy Club instead of just at the Largo
Theater.
Instead of his house. He started at his house.
Yeah.
But now he's doing it at Largo, and it's like cardboard cutouts of fans.
Sure.
And Andy Richter sitting in one of the seats. The entire audience.
Oh, that's awesome.
But
speaking of football, Jay Moore in the chat saying, did you hear about the Chargers quarterback? The team doctor administered some painkilling injection to his cracked ribs and accidentally punctured a lung.
Oh, I did not hear that. Oh, my God.
Sounds like you need to get yourself a new doctor.
Yeah. We're doing a thing over on, while we're talking about football, we're doing a thing over on WRIF.com. Our Riff Pick'em League. I am tied for first.
Are you?
Are you going with the mascot? Are you picking by the mascots?
Either the mascot or the team colors or I pick Philadelphia every week because I love this. It's Always Sunny.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
That's funny.
That's funny thing is I like football and I do watch it, but I pretty much only watch the Lions. And
right.
So I've been doing the Pick'em League as well. And it's like based on nothing. I'm just like.
Yeah.
Well, they asked me to be a part of it. I was like, dude, I mean, I can if you need somebody. I'd rather not. But if I do, I'm just picking it by Woo's mascot. I think would whoop the other mascot's ass.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Ken was like, that's what I think what Chuck's doing.
That's
I'm like,
right.
Well, then you already got somebody.
Yeah, I'm tied with Ann Erickson and Jason.
Wow.
Right now.
Look at you. So how crazy would it be if Chuck wins?
I came out hard in the first week, and I was on top by
came
like
out
2 points.
On top.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm buried because I didn't even participate in the first week. So.
Right. Yeah, so you're starting at a deficit already.
Yeah, I haven't updated it yet for week three. So
I need to
So Al's coming up soft on the bottom.
He's coming up soft in the bottom. I came out hard on top.
Yeah. There's a duality on your radio right there.
And
I'm creamy in the middle.
Yeah. It's like an Oreo cookie.
Yes.
A very, very disgusting Oreo cookie.
Yin and Wang.
Yin and Wang, I like it. Yes.
Now we're just throwing out stuff for trying to get the title. Yep. So when I listen back to this, I'm going to be, it's going to be that. Nope, it's going to be this. This is funnier.
It's the title pitch show. Which
right.
Another pitch right there.
All right, let's take a short break. We're coming back. There's a whole bunch of streaming stuff to talk about, and we'll get to that and kind of wrap up this week's Nerd Radio. So stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio.
I don't want to see it.
That's right, Nerd Radio, back wherever you get your podcasts. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network, on social media at Nerd Radio 101. And Al, where can people find us online?
NerdRadio101.com.
That's right. And, of course, you can find us recording the show Wednesday afternoons over on Twitch. James, where's that?
It's at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
Gold star for both of you. Yeah. Right on top of those audio cues.
Good. I'm glad you didn't catch it. I almost stumbled.
No, not at all.
Because usually you mention the Checkpoint XP Studios, and I was like, Checkpoint Studio. No, just read the URL, James.
Meanwhile, I went through the debate in my head in that second of do I mention all
the
stations?
Websites, or do I, no.
You know, do I mention that URL that I paid for?
Right.
But I also regret my decision because I do feel like at least once a show we should give a shout out to the three radio stations that are hosting the podcast
feed. That's what I was
kind of
aiming
feed,
for,
so,
but I'm not,
you know,
I'm not
cracking the whip. We'll run through them real quick. Of course, The Riff in Detroit, Rock 92.9 in Boston, and 96K Rock in Fort Myers, Florida.
And we appreciate you guys for listening, no matter how you're getting your Nerd Radio. So you can, of course, find us on your social media, like I said, at Nerd Radio 101. Reach out and say hey, because we love interacting with you guys. All right, so I talked to you guys about The Boys. I know that neither of you have gotten to it yet. But
I've seen one episode.
Okay.
You're one up on me then.
I finished Umbrella Academy. And yeah. I've seen one episode of The Boys.
Well, episode 5 was last Friday, and James, you are going to love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know how much of it I really want to spoil, but I, you know what? I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
But I think I'll know when you get there.
Okay.
I think you'll be like, did you see...
Well, I'm hoping to get there by this weekend, but yeah. I don't know. I have to do my viewing, the things that I know is only going to appeal to me in my household.
Sure.
I have to do it like early hours of the morning. So yes. I work, you know, for those who don't know, I work on Dave and Chuck the Freak. So I'm up early during the week. So my weekends, I'm usually up pretty early too. My body's just accustomed to waking up at like,
yeah, me too.
You know, 6 o'clock rolls around and I'm like wide awake in bed. Oh, but like, nobody else in the house is going to be awake. You know, my fiance's asleep until like 10 o'clock.
Oh, if you sleep till 6 or 7, it's a major sleep.
Yeah, like that's a huge amount of sleep I've got. So yeah. I'll then get up and I'll go watch all the shows that I know my fiance doesn't give two pieces of dog crap about.
Right.
So I'm hoping I'll be able to get to episode 5 by this Sunday morning. We'll
okay.
see.
Okay, excellent. Because I'm real interested to hear what you think about it. Same with you, Al. Once you finally get around to seeing it, I'm real curious because you've read the comics like I have. Mm-hmm. So there's stuff in there that you're like, oh, cool, that's right from the books. And then there's other stuff he's like, that is absolutely not from the books, but I almost like it more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or my experience, I remember that I read the series, but I don't remember anything that happens.
Right. So yeah, you won't remember anything. But one of the streaming services that I'm a big fan of, AMC's network Shudder, topped 1 million subscribers.
I didn't know that was an AMC property.
Yes.
Like AMC. You've talked about Shudder. I know what Shudder is. I did not realize it was AMC.
Yep. Shudder is their streaming service for horror, thriller, and supernatural stuff. The way I found out it was AMC is because AMC a couple of years ago did a History of Comic Books series on AMC with Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead as the head of it. Yeah. It's all on Shudder. You can watch the whole series on Shudder. And I was like, oh, this is neat.
I think they used to run commercials for Shudder on... AMC always does like a Halloween movie thing all through the year. And I think they always were pushing Shudder during some of those movies I was watching.
But something that we've completely glossed over, except for James, who actually did a reaction video on his YouTube, which you can find at WhoTheFIsJC, right?
Yeah, you can find it at WhoTheFIsJC.com or YouTube.com/WhoTheFIsJC.
The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Coming back in October. Mm-hmm. And how pumped are you, especially after getting to do that React video for the trailer, how pumped are you for the next season?
I am excited. I can't wait to see what's going to be in store. Bringing in the Jedi, or as they call them,
wizards?
Like space sorcerers or whatever.
Whatever
they refer to them as in the series, which is so weird to hear them called that. You know? Because you're like, no, it's Jedi. Man.
You would think everybody in the universe calls them Jedi, but they don't.
Yeah. I think Sasha Banks is going to be involved.
She's supposed to
I
be
didn't
a,
catch her
looks
in the
like
trailer,
a Jedi.
But looks like she's going to be in there. They're on some ice planet that somebody's saying there's going to be like a possible Jedi temple there and all this crazy stuff. Baby Yoda knows how to use blast shields.
Yeah.
There's a point in the trailer where you see Baby Yoda hit some blast shields.
He realizes that stuff is about to go down, so he punches a button on the front and the blast shields go up.
Yeah.
So he's still a baby at this point.
Yes. Absolutely.
I think he's going to be a baby. I don't think we'll ever see him fully grown until they're like, okay, we're done with The Mandalorian. Oh, look who it is. It's Yoda's cousin, Boda. You
know?
What if he gets a growth spurt and he's the size of a Wookiee?
That'd be wow.
Teenage Yoda is just like really tall. Yeah.
I hope he gets like real angsty too.
Gangly.
Like a teen,
yeah.
You know, like he uses this force just to like do punk teenager stuff.
Right.
You know, like make frogs.
That is.
Cook frogs. And
yeah. What if Yoda was just like a little Yoda? Like actual Yoda
kind of
was just, yeah. Like,
and Yoda, you know,
and they really are like giant.
Actually supposed to be like 6 feet
creatures.
Tall.
You know, I do feel like,
you
too.
You can tell how big a Yoda is going to be by how big their ears are when they're born.
Right.
That'd be interesting.
It would be interesting. I'll bet you anything, though, that that little baby Yoda was supposed to grow up faster than it's going to.
Oh,
after,
sure.
They, I mean, like, I'm sure they thought, like, this thing's going to be cute and people will like it, but they could not have anticipated just how popular Baby Yoda became.
I'm just waiting to see what they're putting out this Christmas season for Baby Yoda, because I'm probably going to buy it all.
Yeah.
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 I thought I saw something. They're making one that you can actually put on your shoulder.
Oh, like a little, little parrot.
Yep.
Yeah. Very nice.
That's shoulder cool. Yoda.
Yeah, I have not watched the trailer for Mandalorian, though, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely excited for it.
You know, if you
but...
decide you want to break your ban, they don't spoil much of anything. That I feel like they show you some scenery.
It's kind of one of those trailers that's just a lot of cool scenes.
Yeah.
You know what, though?
It creates more curiosity than it does anything.
I think the only exception I will make to my rule, though, like you did a reaction video, and I could see. I don't have a YouTube channel. I don't. Mm-hmm. I have a Twitch so I can talk in our little chat thing here when we record. But like, I broke my my rule. I can't remember which Avengers
we watched
together. Yeah. I don't know if it was Endgame or if it was Infinity War. It was one or the other. But you and I watched.
Endgame, because I was making jokes about Thanos is walking through a field of
marijuana
plants.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the
but like, we did a reaction video together, and that's like the only exception I'll make to break my rule.
Yeah.
Or like, if it's something that comes up, like we're on the morning show.
Yeah.
And something comes up, and I'm like, well, all right, well, it's
yeah, you're not gonna be like, no,
but,
I can't look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing: if Dave Hunter's like, hey, we're gonna watch this trailer on the show, and you have an opportunity to be on a nationally syndicated morning radio program, you're going to watch the trailer. You're not going to be like, I'm sorry, but that violates my trailer rule.
Yes.
I'm not watching.
Al is a man of scruples, and he will not.
I mean, we are talking. Al
Beck does not sell out.
You are talking to somebody who looked at the floor and plugged their ears because Star Wars trailer came up, and I wasn't ready to see in a movie theater.
Right.
That was when I
and forgot about that.
Yeah, do you remember that was the one when I went to see Avengers
with Chuck and his son, or is that a different one?
Was that, that was when I followed the family in and sat right next to him in the assigned seats.
Oh, that's right.
The man and his teenage daughters made me look like a super creep.
Yeah.
And then like I sit down right beside them, and then a Star Wars trailer starts. I'm like, can't watch it. I made a rule.
It's
terrible.
Like, okay, girls, we're going to move into the road right in front
of
us.
I don't care if these seats are assigned or not. We are moving.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was terrible.
Well, another thing we look forward to on Disney Plus that dropped this weekend is WandaVision. They gave us our first trailer of that.
I did not watch that. I'm confused about what the heck WandaVision is. So please tell me more, Chuck.
Well, it's going to be the Scarlet Witch and the Vision, who are kind of in a relationship, which you saw in the movies. But Vision obviously died.
A superhero power couple.
In Infinity War. And from what we can see in this...
Oh, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Infinity War.
If you haven't seen Infinity War, so spoiler alert. In this, Vision is back alive again, and him and Wanda are living in what looks like a 1950s sitcom.
Okay.
But things aren't all, like, okay, which makes you think that it might be Scarlet Witch's... powers to influence reality kind of going nuts,
okay,
which she has done in the comics.
And this is also, I think I've read, this is some sort of a multiverse tie-in somehow? Okay.
Yeah, the Doctor Strange movie that was supposed to come out either next
couple
year
years,
or the year after. This is supposed to open up kind of a multiverse thing. It's supposed to have Kat Dennings, who was in the Thor movies.
Yes.
I think it was Marcy.
Two Broke Girls.
Two Broke Girls,
She was Marcy in the first couple of Thor movies. Mm-hmm. And it also looks like it's going to have the woman who played Monica Rambeau in the Captain Marvel movie in there as well. So it's a very interesting trailer. And
which one's Monica Rambeau?
She was the black girl that was her friend when she was in the Air Force.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But the trailer itself, let's see. Well, it debuted during Sunday's Primetime Emmy Awards and gathered 53 million viewers online over 24 hours, according to a report on Deadline.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it says it smashed Avengers Infinity War's 30.9 million views that it got during the Super Bowl and Stranger Things' 28.2 million views that it also got during a Super Bowl. So lots of people saw that trailer. I think it was real late Sunday night. Because it was during the Emmys, which actually, Al, off the air here, you were just telling me about it was a Netflix show that won an Emmy. And like 24 hours later, they're like, yeah, we're not making any more of those.
Yeah.
We got an award for it, but we're not making any
more
of those.
Yeah, I don't even know what it, remember
the
what it was
Dark
called.
Crystal. Was it, Dark Crystal. The Dark Crystal.
It was like a kid's
Yeah,
it was a continuation of the old Disney movie that was all puppets, The Dark Crystal.
I mean, that just goes to show, like, the companies that own these streaming services, they don't care how much award-winning content that they can get.
Right. Yeah.
They just want stuff that brings in streamers, that brings in people to watch.
How much money did it bring in?
Exactly. And they're like, we gave Dave Chappelle $18 billion, so we need
Who knows? Dark Crystal might get picked up by Disney Plus now.
I didn't think about that. That's true.
Disney Plus might be like, what, Netflix? You don't want it? Well, fine. We'll put it on Disney Plus.
Right.
That's a good point. You know? It's so funny how it's changed, though, that you can have a show that wins an award, like one of the big awards, too.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and even Netflix is like, we're so excited that our show won an award. Gone. Yeah. You know, but it's like,
you would think, especially after winning the award on Sunday, that maybe they would have like, all right, let's put the brakes on whether or not we're going to get rid of this.
Yeah, let's revisit it, you know?
Yeah.
Let's bring it up in the next shareholders meeting.
Let's think about this for a second. Can we allot a little bit of money to maybe doing this again?
Yeah. But like most of those like hugely iconic shows like from years back usually started with poor ratings, things like Cheers. They're very rarely hits out of the gate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and like those are the shows, like the hits out of the gate shows are the ones that become popular now.
Yeah.
Like immediately people were into Lost. Immediately people were into Walking Dead or whatever. But like my beloved MASH, dude, like MASH was a failure at
Star
first.
Trek.
Wow.
Star Trek.
Wow.
Think about Star Trek, the entire original series was a failure.
Yep.
Like it never really caught on, and then they got rid of it. And it became popular in syndication years later, but like MASH was not doing any numbers. A lot of the people at the network didn't believe in it, and it was like a top executive's wife loved the show,
yeah,
and they kept it around.
I saw a similar story, and I don't know how true it is, but the guy who owns Costco, you know, when you go to Costco, they've got the bar where you can get a pizza or you can get $1.50.
You can get like the most delicious slice of pizza you've ever had in your life.
Really?
For $2 and it's huge?
Yeah.
Really?
But they've got the $1.50 hot dog there.
Yeah.
And there's apparently a story that somebody, like one of the CEOs or one of the business people were like, we are losing our ass on these hot dogs. And he was in a meeting with the owner, and the owner literally told him, he was like, figure it out. If you change the price of the hot dog, I will fucking kill you.
This man loves a hot, cheap wiener.
He loves $1.50 wiener.
He wants it available for any mouths to put their lips around him.
That's right.
Hot, cheap.
It took me
wieners.
A while to find a way to make that sexual.
Hot, cheap wiener wasn't sexual enough.
No, I needed to wrap your lips around it. You know, you got to wrap your lips around that hot, cheap wiener, Al.
You had to go deeper with that wiener.
Yeah. Yep. Much deeper. And we'll go even deeper. Another thing that Costco takes a loss on every time they sell, rotisserie chickens.
Really?
They put those items in there to get people into the store to spend their money on,
the other stuff.
4,000 boxes of ramen, you know?
Right.
And then you buy your $1.50 hot cheap wiener and your rotisserie chicken.
Yeah.
On this episode of Shopping with Nerds.
Yeah.
While we're talking about Star Trek, though, Al, I was just mentioning to you that they're changing CBS All Access to the Paramount Network.
Right.
Have you read any about this at all?
I haven't really looked into it, but I really think it's just a like a name change.
Yeah.
I think it also, if you think about it, kind of broadens the scope a little bit of it. Rather than just like, I don't know, CBS kind of has that old person sort of stigma. Exactly. Like, it's so funny because they always boast the most watched network, but you know,
by senior citizens and grandmas and grandpas across the world,
they're the only people still watching network TV, and me. so I think the Paramount thing, and they already, like, I can't remember the last time, like, I actually opened up the app to watch Lower Decks or whatever. Some of the like the headers up there, like, it looks a little bit more like Disney Plus does now, where it's got Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. It looks a little bit more like that, where it's broken down into, like, here's some stuff that may interest you on CBS All Access.
Right. And from the sounds of it, much like the HBO app, they're going to kind of infuse it with Comedy Central and maybe MTV and other stuff that Viacom owns.
Comedy Central was the one that really stood out to me the last time I went on there. I couldn't remember what it was. I was going to pull up the app, but you beat me to it. But so I think they're just sort of broadening it a little bit, and I think people are more likely to subscribe to a Paramount service rather than a CBS service.
Right.
You know what I mean? So really it's just like a name change. It's still the same thing. Right. You know,
rebranding it a little bit to a younger, more like wider audience.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Interesting, though, that they see, once again, that HBO Max has all these buttons for, like, you know, Adult Swim and the Ghibli stuff and whatever. Which, speaking of, I clicked on the HBO Max, the Adult Swim button, and I was like, oh, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I haven't watched that in forever. There are 10 seasons of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. There are probably, like, 50 episodes there I have never seen.
I'm trying to think how many I have on DVD, because I have 5.
I had to look. I have 7 box sets on DVD.
Okay, so I probably have 7 as well.
That equates to about 5 seasons of Aqua Teen on the movie. HBO Max.
Oh, nice.
So there's a...
Who's got an HBO Max password?
There's a bunch of Aqua Teen.
I got to go see Carl. I got to see what Carl and Frylock are up to.
I've got it through... Remember we were talking when it first launched about the, you know, like having it on cable or whatever?
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing. I have HBO Max because I get my... Like, you get your TV through Sling, James. Yeah. I get mine through Hulu. Mm-hmm. And Hulu, it's weird. Like, you... I think it's cool that on Hulu you can get movie channels. Whether you have the live TV or not, you can get... You know, Showtime on demand or Cinemax on demand, and they got HBO as well.
They can essentially be your cable provider.
Right. Yep. But they flipped it. So you don't basically get HBO Go anymore. Like, if you get HBO through Hulu, you get HBO Max.
Ah, okay.
So I can watch live HBO channels on my live TV subscription, but also I have a subscription to Max.
Okay.
So that's like the way Hulu does it. So if you have a cable company, you maybe don't have Max anymore, but that's how Hulu. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Because either way, it's the same price. Whether it's $15 to subscribe to the channel, or it's $15 to get HBO Max.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, we've got plenty to watch, so I think I'm going to end this week's Nerd Radio, so I can go home and check out my streaming services. Because I'm actually in the middle of a show that I want to talk about when I see the whole thing.
Gotta
next
go
week,
hack Al's HBO Max account.
Right. So you can watch some Aqua Teen.
Yeah.
So thank you guys, as always, for joining us in the chat on Wednesday mornings on Checkpoint XP. And thank you for downloading and subscribing, liking, and reviewing us on online, whether you're getting us on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're getting us.
The B-Pod Studios.
Yep, absolutely. We'll be back next week for some more Nerd Radio. Until then, find us on social media at Nerd Radio 101.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
We could bring that up on the show and talk more about it.
You're right. We're blowing content.
Chuck and I blew an entire...
blowing content.
Just going to stop. Chuck and I just blew... Never mind.
Yeah, well...
What are you guys blowing? Demonstrate on your microphone.
We basically had a whole segment before you came up here.
Oh, really?
Just shooting the and we're like, we're wasting it.
Oh. That's what happens when you get up here late, James. You miss me and Al blowing content.
Blowing each other, huh?
Right. Cool. Hey, you know what? We got to pay rent for the Checkpoint XP studio somehow. Yeah. So.
Well, I'd rather you guys paying with your mouth than me paying with mine.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.